I am so tickled to bring you this episode, a very special episode in the Best of Growing Joy series. Plant Friends, this is the fifth episode I ever published in my over 300 episodes on this podcast, but I figured the timing is perfect for me to bring back this oldie but a goodie that even if you've been a real devout listener of the podcast, you might have missed because it's so far down the feed. Perfect for the Best of Growing Joy season, all about Christmas trees and why you should get a real Christmas tree instead of a fake Christmas tree. This was an interview I did back in 2017 with Mary Jean Packer. Back then, she was with the Christmas Tree Farmers Association of New York, and she busted a lot of myths about real versus artificial trees, sustainable practices, and how if you choose to get a real tree, you could keep them fresh all season long. It was a delightful little conversation and gets you in the spirit for having that beautiful, fresh Christmas tree and that scent in your home. Now, once again, this is the fifth episode of Growing Joy. I am a self-taught podcaster. The audio quality is not as good as it is now. So just bear with me. It's a shorter episode, but I hope you enjoy it and that it gets you into the holiday festive feelings. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. All right, Mary Jean, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. Christmas trees are my favorite things to talk about. This is the best season to be in. So we're so thankful you're here. To start off, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Christmas Tree Farmers Association of New York and what you do for them?
Certainly. The Christmas Tree Farmers Association of New York is founded, grower-led, and I am their only paid staff person. The group actually began in 1953 by the parents and grandparents of some of the members who are still active in the organization today.
Oh, wow.
We represent almost 400 of the state's nearly 900 real tree farmers. And their locations range from the North Fork of Long Island to West Chazy outside of Plattsburgh, all the way to within sight of Niagara Falls and the Pennsylvania border. The thing that all the growers have in common is their desire to grow beautiful trees in a sustainable, environmentally sensitive manner. And a lot of that comes from learning from one another and the networking. In fact, right before you called, I've had a request for a tree that I directed one place. They couldn't fill it. Instead of telling me they couldn't fill it, they just called their neighbor and found out their neighbor had the trees we needed.
Wow. So it sounds like they kind of unite against the fake tree. They want to support each other. That's pretty special. And yes, I'm excited to have you on the show today to debunk a couple of myths surrounding Christmas trees. And we can just jump into the first one, being that, unfortunately, I think some people think that artificial trees are actually better for the environment than cut Christmas trees. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Certainly. And that's for sure. When I came to work for the association about 7 years ago, that was so surprising to me, having come from a family that always got our own Christmas tree. So when I heard people educated, people who are trying to do the right thing for their families and for the environment, and I had them say to me with pride, I get an artificial tree because I care about the environment.
Right.
It just astounded me when I heard that, because people who do care about the environment should avoid buying things made on the other side of the globe, made from plastics, made in an unsustainable manner, and that isn't very healthy to have in your home for your kids and your pets to be chewing on, to just be in the air. And then most recently, a study done at Michigan State University in their fire lab has shown that a fake tree is apt to burn more easily and will be a very toxic fire when those plastics start melting. Whereas a real tree, as long as it's kept watered, isn't even going to burn. It's too wet to burn. And if it does burn, it'll just be like a tree, wood burning in your fireplace.
Right. And just to follow up on that, because that's because the dust that collects on the tree is highly flammable, right? So the longer you have that artificial tree, that dust with the heated lights, the artificial lights that are on it can be totally dangerous.
And just the way it's wired, because a lot of these fake trees have the wiring built into the branches. And who knows the care with which they've been wired. There's no quality control. There's no inspection in an overseas factory. So very, very dangerous on a variety of ways. And then as to environmental benefits of real tree, amazing in just the carbon sequestration. If we just focus on that one aspect of a real tree farm, it's amazing, especially as we're so worried about global warming and climate change in general and the impact that CO2 emissions have. Christmas trees may well be the single best answer. Research has shown the way that trees help put oxygen into the air and consume the CO2 is when the tree is at that fast-growing young stage, like maybe ages 3 or 5 up to 10 or 12. If you think about it, that's the exact age group that entire Christmas tree farms exist in. They're planted as seedlings, they're harvested after 8 or 10, 12 years. So these statistics are amazing to me. 500 pounds of carbon dioxide are consumed by just 1 acre of Christmas trees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because also every Christmas tree that gets cut, the farmers plant like 2 or 3 trees per tree that gets cut, right? So it's completely renewable.
For sure. Not only because every time you cut a tree, there's a space in the field to replant if you interplant, or if farmers start a new block of plantings, the rule of thumb is that 3, just so that the kid you hire to mow between the rows can mow one of the trees, the deer that wander in can eat one of the trees, and hopefully the one remaining tree will make it to market size again.
Right. And also, they're not only renewable, but completely recyclable and biodegradable after, whereas these artificial trees are made of non-renewable compounds, right?
Gosh, a fake tree will last in the landfill forever.
Right.
If you just think about all that you hear and read about plastics in the landfill and how that's become such a problem, we'll multiply that by the fake tree size. It never disappears from the landfill, whereas a real tree can be recycled just as is, which is a really cool application. If you live on a big piece of land, to just throw it out in the yard, and rabbits and whoever will nibble on the branches, you know, the deer will make nests in it, on it, from it. If you don't like that kind of ugly tree laying around your yard, some people are submerging them in a pond or in a stream. Now, this is with permission of their local fish and wildlife folks, but they provide really important fisheries habitat and underwater homes for muskrats and beavers and so on. And then at a more basic level, if you don't want to fool with it, most cities and even smaller towns and suburbs offer recycling at the curb. You just get your tree to the curb and they come along with the chipper, grind up your tree along with your neighbor's trees, and then use it like under the swing set at the city park or on a path through the botanical garden. So every little bit of it gets used up.
So it's also not, you know, most of my listeners are in cities, and I love the idea of taking your cut tree and putting it in your backyard and, you know, having it for local wildlife to kind of forage in. But I think some people think, oh, well, if I live in a city, it's just going to get thrown out. But that's like entirely untrue. I know at least in New York City, They have like a 1.5 week time section of time where as long as you just get your tree to the curb, they're going to take that tree and chip it and reuse it.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. They also have something called Mulch Fest, which you can bring your tree someplace and have it chipped right in front of you. And it gets all redistributed throughout different parks in the city. So as long as you do your research and know if you're in a city when those collection days are, it's really, you really don't have to put a lot of effort into having it recycled appropriately to better the environment.
That Mulch Fest one is really cool because they'll mulch it while you wait. And if you want, you can have the bag of mulch to take home and put in your garden. Or if you're in the city, in your window box or around your house plants.
Right.
Really, the only thing we urge people to do is just double check you got all your ornaments out before you have it.
Totally. I love that, though. You could go get your tree mulched, get the mulch, bring it back and put it in your houseplants. So you have like a little bit of your Christmas tree, you know, helping your other houseplants. I love that idea.
I did just want to go back to.
Yes, please.
We were talking about environmental impacts of growing real trees. And we talked a lot about consuming the CO2. But I think the part that I like maybe even more is the oxygen added to the air.
Right.
Because there's other ways of sequestering carbon, but there's very few ways of producing this kind of oxygen. And we're actually talking about 1,000 pounds of oxygen each year from an acre of Christmas trees.
So it's not only eliminating a problem, but it's actually making it better.
And that's the amount of air that 18 people need to breathe for a year.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I've had a Christmas tree in my house every year, and I've never really thought that much about this. And it's truly amazing when you really think about it.
And then here's the math. We worked on this computation for a really cool set of posters for kids that we have at the New York State Fair and at some of the county fairs. But once you work on a statistic like this, it's hard to forget it. You multiply that out by the 18,600 acres of Christmas trees that grow here in New York State, and that's enough oxygen from our state's tree farms. That's the air that people need to breathe each year.
Wow.
So that's the entire city of Syracuse. That's how many people live
right there.
So picture an entire city getting all the air they need to breathe for a year from New York State's Christmas tree farms.
Wow, that's amazing. And like, not to mention, there's no better air and no better smell than Christmas tree. Christmas tree
yeah.
I live for when they unpack the Christmas trees to the stands in New York City. And you like, I'll cross the street just so I can walk through, you know, the little tunnels of, for the listeners that aren't in New York, I'm sure it's in other cities too, but they have these Christmas tree stands where they line each side of the sidewalk with Christmas trees. And when you walk through, you just get like enveloped in this beautiful pine smell, and it's like everything Christmas needs to be. So can you find your Christmas tree farmers in the association's trees in these Christmas tree stands in New York?
Yes, and more each year. Not too many years ago, that question I wouldn't have been able to have answered positively. To be the market was kind of filled by very low-cost trees from North Carolina or Nova Scotia. Over time, people have begun to demand high-quality, locally grown trees. It's sort of like the growth of the green markets.
Right.
Think about before we had all the green markets, people would just buy their vegetables anywhere.
Right.
Now people insist on fruit and vegetables that come from upstate farms. And the whole New York Grown and Certified program that has arisen around assuring consumers that the safest food to eat grown by farmers locally in the most environmentally sensitive manner, all that now is applying to Christmas trees as well. And people know their food is fresher when it travels shorter distances and when they know the farmer. So that follows that your Christmas tree is fresher when it doesn't travel as far, and where you can know that what you're doing is actually supporting a farm family and assuring not only their way of life, but the open space of that farm that everyone uses and enjoys.
Right, totally. And right, because it's all about getting the freshest cut at the tree trunk in order for the tree to absorb all the water, right?
Oh, you've hit the nail on the head. We were going to remind the listeners of only one thing about having a successful farm fresh tree in their home for many weeks. Mm-hmm. That would be it. That fresh cut is just so important.
So now what I'd love to do is go into best practices of Christmas tree care. So jumping right off of that, when I'm at the Christmas tree stand, ideally I'm going to a Christmas tree farm and I'm picking out the tree and like chopping it down and having that experience. And you could totally speak to that. But also, so say I'm at one of these Christmas tree stands, should I be asking the guy to recut the trunk?
That's ideal. Almost all of them are willing to do that. Some of them will even offer without you asking. But in terms of a savvy tree buyer, definitely ask them to recut the stump. And it only needs to be, you know, an inch or so, just to open it up and get it ready to accept the water.
Right. Because obviously, like in my apartment, I'm probably not going to have a sharp enough knife to really safely cut the tree on my own. So it's
no, important. And you want a smooth, quick cut.
Right. Okay. Because
if you think about it, when you look at this cut, there's all those rings and the water that's getting sucked up into the tree through those layers between the bark and the heartwood. So the sap in the tree wants to seal that shut. So that's why we're having people cut off an inch and then immediately, as quickly as you can, get it into water.
What's the like time frame for like to the best of your ability within a few amount of hours that you should be really trying to get it in water?
Less than a day.
Less than a day. Okay. So there's some flexibility there.
Yeah. If you cut the tree upstate on Sunday afternoon, when you get it back to your apartment or your house, don't even worry about setting it up in the living room that night, but don't leave it on the car. Get a bucket, fill the bucket with water and stand the tree up in the bucket of water till you're ready to put it in its final place. Same thing with like a curbside. You find it at the curb. Probably the best thing is to at the curb, ask for a local tree. Make sure it's come from a New York State farm. Then have them cut the inch off and get it home and get it wet.
Okay, whether it's in the bucket or in the stand.
Yeah,
and then
bucket, stand, bathtub if you have to.
Right, but bathtub.
Keep that fresh and wet.
And are there anything you want to say about getting the Christmas tree in the stand in terms of like the screws that you put it in? Or I mean, is there anything that someone should know that they might not just intuitively know in terms of getting it standing up in the stand?
There's a bunch of different kinds of stands, and you mentioned the one where you kind of want to, this kind of tree stand has led to more divorce than any other home improvement object.
Hysterical.
Where there's three screws and you loosen one and tighten one and a little to the left and a little to the right. And so in the Christmas tree industry, a new kind of stand has been developed that is called the marriage saver. And what it has to do with is the notion that the tree will find its own balance and look perfectly upright based on its natural weight. And so by drilling a hole in the center of the base of the trunk with a special deep drill, you can set that onto a special stand, which is essentially a giant plastic bucket with a big plastic spike sticking out of the very middle of the bucket. And you set that spike up into this pre-drilled hole, and immediately your tree is straight.
Okay, so,
so most places where you buy a tree may have one of these marriage saver stands. And if not, you can look online and have one shipped right to them. Well worth the price of freight compared to the price of a marriage counselor.
That's so funny. I love that. Okay, so now the tree is in the stand. Hopefully you've gotten your recycling tree, the bag that you put under the stand before the tree gets put up. And then what's next? What are the best care practices for? And also, how long do you recommend having a tree indoors?
Let's go back to question one.
Okay.
Best practice is so simple. It's water. Just water the tree. And if you have to water it every time you have a cup of coffee, if you water it every time you take a shower, just invent something like that to remember to do it.
Okay. But you should always be watering, making sure that there's water in the bowl, never letting it dry out.
That's correct.
And what about another MythBuster? What about the kind of old wives' tale of like putting Sprite or putting sugar or putting the chemicals in the water to help with tree growth and, you know, letting the tree not die and dry up?
All you're doing when you put chemicals in the tree is giving your dog something poisonous to drink.
That's it.
There's no benefit to adding any of those things. In fact, some of them may shorten the life of the tree. Best thing is just plain water.
Just plain water. So just make sure the tree has water and it never dries out and your tree will be great. And I mean, can you keep it for most of December? Is it okay to have it for 3 weeks, 4 weeks? Like what are the, I know there's usually the tree collections happen like the first week of January, right?
That's right. Check with your local recycling places to find out for sure when the collections or the recycling centers are open. And that should be when the tree goes. The longer you keep it, the more opportunity it has for drying out.
Right. And pine needles everywhere.
But 3 weeks or 4 weeks, if people want to get a tree the weekend after Thanksgiving and they love how it looks, if they have the room for it, by all means, get it then and enjoy it the whole month of December.
Right.
Back to taking care of your tree, thinking about where you're going to put it in your apartment or house is also a very good idea. People love how it looks in the window because they can show it off to their neighbors and all their pretty decorations. But the window also lets sunlight in on the tree. So it's sort of a trade-off. You see them, you drive by these places, they have a picture window, and centered in the picture window is this beautiful tree. But the sun is beating through that plate glass onto the tree and drying it out horribly.
Mm. Okay.
So think through where you're going to put it. The same with forced hot air.
Right. If you're close to a radiator.
Yes.
Okay. So make sure you're finding something that's not too hot with not too much sunlight. Or if it's going to be in a window, make sure you're really watering it and heavily, making sure there's a lot of water.
Correct.
Okay. Man, this is helpful.
I think it goes without saying, don't put it next to the fireplace. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that. And in fact, on the opposite side of the room is always best.
Right. No, that's definitely a good idea. Thank you for reminding everyone. To wrap it up, I would love to hear, since you're in contact with all of these Christmas tree farmers, I would love to hear something about your experience getting to know these, you know, local businesses and the families that are behind these farms, you know?
Well, that's really been one of the highlights of working for this association of growers, is getting to know so many of the members, the farmers and their families, a really lovely, warm group of people. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to visit a farm down in Orange County, the Emmerich Tree Farm, owned by Kurt and Karen Emmerich. It's in the little town of Warwick. And they hosted the Commissioner of Agriculture, who cut the first tree of the season there. It was, you know, admittedly a media event. But nonetheless, it was a beautiful event, a beautiful farm. And the first tree was then delivered to the state capitol in Albany, where it'll be decorated and on display in the Senate. Off Senate building of the Capitol. Very exciting. But back to the Emmerichs. Their son Adam was there with them. He's a recent college graduate and kind of weighing his options. But one of those options appears to be working on the farm. He's already added that touch that someone under 30 can bring to a traditional family farm.
Right.
Freshened some things up there for Kurt and Kurt and Karen, for sure. And just so heartwarming to see their hard work as farmers with a plan for the next generation to take that on. And we have more and more members that I'm seeing at our conventions bringing their sons and daughters with them and really making a plan for how to pass on their farm and their Christmas tree business to the next generation when they're ready to retire.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, when you're investing in a local cut tree, you're not only investing in your Christmas experience with your family and dressing up your apartment, but you're investing in these families that are behind these farms.
That's a great message. I love how you said that.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I love it. Well, I will definitely be asking my local vendor if it's a New York local tree. And I'm so thankful for the time you gave to us and all of the myths you busted and this great education. I'm so thankful to you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I'm happy to share what I know. Folks who want to find out more about Farm Fresh trees grown in New York State can go to our website, ChristmasTreesNY.org.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I can't believe like baby Maria back in 2017 with this episode wanting to learn about Christmas trees. So sweet. But Mary Jean Packer gave a great interview. Thanks again to the Christmas Tree Farmers Association of New York. I hope this is your best holiday season yet, plant friends, whether you're using a real, a fake, a potted, a living Christmas tree, whether you don't celebrate Christmas and the season doesn't mean anything. But I hope November and December and the rest of this quarter as we close out the year is restful, easeful, stress-free, and most importantly, joyful. And if you need a little bit of joy inspiration, I'm here, as always, twice a week to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.